Blog Talk Radio.
You don't have to be a loser. It don't have to be one day at a time anymore. All those broken hearts, memories, and failures. Our Lord Jesus, He already bore. Yes, He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. Yes, we like sheep have all gone astray. We've everyone turned and gone His own way. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and a sheep dumb before her shears. He opened not His mouth. Yes, and His visage was marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men, blotting out the handwriting on the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, and He nailed it to the cross. And He said, whosoever believeth on me. To be a loser. It don't have to be one day at a time anymore. All those broken hearts, memories, and failures. Our Lord Jesus, He already bore. You don't have to be a loser. It don't have to be one day at a time anymore. All those broken hearts, memories, and failures. Our Lord Jesus, He already bore.
Well, good evening, everybody. I hope your day has been blessed. To begin with, I want to read you something from the New King James Version that I was reading. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And I begin my prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, I know You are a God of order, and order brings peace. Help us to maintain that same order and peace in our lives. Give us the wisdom to not allow anything that would disturb that order and peace to influence our lives. Help us to fill our mind with Your word and our soul with Your spirit, so that there is no room for the enemy's propaganda. Amen. Well, tonight, I want to talk about the everlasting life that conquers death. You see, as I've spoke about in the past, death has always been humanity's enemy. It brings loneliness, sadness, disorientation. But it need not be a mystery, nor be entirely devastating. Even though it is inevitable, death is not the end. It really is not, though at times death seems unfair and arbitrary. It does not thwart God's plan for eternal life. Through a resurrection, God will reunite us with family and friends and extend His promise to all who have ever lived. Eventually, there will come a time when death itself will be banished. Now, writing about the resurrection that will take place when Jesus returns, Paul paraphrased from the book of Hosea. And he did this when he paraphrased it from that book in 1 Corinthians 15, 53 through 55. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? You see, death will be swallowed up and defeated in the victory of eternal life. Holding on to this view of the future can give us hope and optimism at a time of great loss. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have, who have no hope. You see, a future beyond our wildest hopes, some people are put off by the thought of eternal life. Some feel this life is painful and difficult enough. So why would anyone want to live forever? Others may think that eternity sounds vague and uninteresting. That if it means they have to give up pleasure in this lifetime, it just isn't worth the effort. They would rather experience all the good times they can for now and worry about eternity some other time. In all the scriptures we've read, we've seen that God wants to give us an everlasting, eternal, immortal life. We are assured that it is more valuable than any physical treasure. And we can read this from Colossians 1, verses 26, 27, Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3. But exactly what we'll be doing for eternity. If receiving eternal life requires effort and sacrifice in this life, is it going to be worth it? I ask you that. Is it? Let's remember the limitations of our human experience and observation. God is so far above us that it's difficult for us to understand his ways and thoughts. What God is preparing to give us is beyond our wildest imaginations and fantasies. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. You see, God is creator. He plans, builds, he implements. He designed the universe and devised his plan and our reward before he even started creating it. You see, he is planning and preparing an infinitely more exciting and rewarding life for us in his divine family, as told to us in John 14, 1 through 3. We can only try to begin to imagine that incredible and eternally enjoyable life he wants to give us. An eternal life free from human limitations and disappointments, weaknesses and suffering, pain, disappointment and death will be no more. Regarding the vision he received of a new heaven and a new earth, as I've mentioned in Revelations 21:1, the Apostle John wrote in verse 4 from Revelations 21 and 22. And he wrote this, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no pain, for the former things have passed away." You see, we learn that those who receive eternal life will be a family, the children of God, with community relationships in the New Jerusalem. Relationships, principles that God is teaching us now will be as applicable then as they are today. That is why God wants us to learn and apply His ways in our lives now. What we can take with us to learn and apply His ways for all eternity is our love and concern for one another. The full hope and meaning of an eternal existence with God and Jesus Christ is truly beyond our ability to grasp or express. 1 John 3:2 quotes it this way, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." You see, John states that God hasn't revealed everything that He has in mind for us, as we can't yet conceive of what it means to be fully like the glorified Jesus Christ. Our finite minds couldn't contain it. We have been seeing prophecies that take us into the future about 1,000 years beyond Christ's promised return. As Paul wrote, we see spiritual concepts and promises in a kind of vague outline, as if we were looking through a steamed-up mirror. Brothers and sisters, that's from 1 Corinthians 13:12. But someday, as Paul who says in this verse, we will see clearly, just as clearly as God sees everything about us. Responding to God in faith, is it worth it to seek God's kingdom rather than sinful pleasures or priorities in this world? Many are not so sure, but God assures us that His promise of eternal life is more than worth the effort, struggles, and disappointments of life and death. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 states it this way, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You see, everlasting life is, after all, a matter of faith. And we read that in John 3:16. "For God so gave us His Son, gave up His Son, Jesus Christ, that we have everlasting life." He lost His only Son for that. I mean, does that make sense? Because faith is not just a warm, vague feeling that Jesus has done everything for us. Faith is a frame of mind that is expressed by the kind of person who choose to be. The actions that express what you believe. When all is said and done, we must have faith, and eternal life is worth anything we might be required to endure to receive it. But learning more about life, death, and what happens after death should make quite an impact on how you live. That knowledge should make you pause and consider what use you are making of the precious gift of life, and whether you are using it to prepare for the eternal life God offers you. Psalm 90 was composed by Moses. In this prayer to God, he contrasts the power of God with the frailties of a man. He writes of God's view of time, of the relative mere moment that represents our lifetime, and of the punishment that is sometimes necessary to correct man's ways. In verse 10 through 12, he says, "Now Moses said this, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Regrettably, most people seem to notice that life is short only after much of it has slipped away. We must learn to number our days, keeping in mind that our time will pass, and we must take care to make the most of it. You see, Solomon told us to remember the Creator in the days of our youth, and he told us that in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. What will you do? Peter wrote of this culmination of God's plan, prophesied of the time during which everything physical will be burned up and replaced by new heavens and a new earth. Then he asked a challenging rhetorical question. How does that knowledge change your life? 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Now, understanding the meaning of life, death, and what follows this physical life can give priceless comfort and hope in the face of death. It should also have a great impact on the kind of person you are, motivating you to live carefully and make wise choices, knowing that the purpose of this life is to prepare you for an eternal life of power and ability beyond anything you can imagine, should encourage you to turn to God so He can begin to fulfill His purpose in you.
than a
brothers and sisters, I enjoyed giving you this teaching. It was a short teaching. It was not that long. It should have been very easy for you to keep your ears open to what I was saying to you. And I do ask this of you, that the Holy Spirit bless your heart to give to this ministry. And if you do and you feel glad to do this, please send your tax-deductible donations to the Heritage of Faith Christian Church, P.O. Box 748, Crowley, Texas 76036. Place in your memo or on your money order or check, which is, again, tax-deductible for the prison ministry. Pastor Scott Wernick, and also put attention to the Texas Prison Ministry or the Prison Ministry of Texas. Either one is just as good on the outside of your envelope to the attention of Pastor Scott Wernick. You know, it's kind of funny, and I want to end with this prayer. Lord, we pray that one day we will begin to consider our precious losses, gains, for the sake of Christ, as you use our suffering, our life, and our testimony. Whatever it was to our profit, we know, and we now consider loss for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is more, we consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. For those whose sake we have lost all things, we gain everything in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, amen. Because we don't have to hang our heads to be humble. We humble ourselves simply by submitting to His greatness every day. Be blessed. And I love you in the Lord. May the Holy Spirit always watch over you. Good night.